This podcast is for entertainment purposes only and does not contain or replace your own financial, tax, legal, or financial product advice.
I think everyone thinks healthy, non-enjoyment, and it's expensive. And it's like, actually, no. Healthy food can be tasty and delicious, and it can be inexpensive. 150 grams of potatoes is 60 cents for 150 grams in comparison to a packet of potato crisps for the same weight, which is $2.90. A 100 gram apple was about 60 cents compared to a 100 gram fruit bar, which is $1.90, or a 100 gram chocolate bar, which is $4.30. So we're not comparing apples with apples there.
Welcome to My Millennial Money. I'm Glenn James and you're with
John Pigeon.
And we want to help you make smart money decisions. That's what this whole podcast is about, encouraging you, helping you. Today, I want to welcome Jess Spendlove. Welcome, Jess.
Hi,
welcome,
guys. Jess.
Sun Super Out show partner. They've been awarded Super Ratings 2020 Fund of the Year for having the best value end-to-end super product. Since 2015, they've also held Canstar's highest five-star outstanding value rating for outstanding value superation. That's a lot of words right there, John.
Superannuation.
And value. They've also been recognized multiple times with multiple awards from the likes of Money Magazine and Finder. So thank you to Sun Super for getting behind what we're doing here and supporting the podcast.
Yes.
If you are looking to review your super, we ask that you throw them in the mix, and you can do that at sunsuper.com.au/M3. And this episode is actually on YouTube, so head over if you want to watch us. And I got YouTube Premium the other day, John, because I was sick of the ads. Yeah. And the cool thing about YouTube Premium, you can actually watch stuff, close your app, and just listen. It lets you do that, where the free one, it makes you watch it.
It's annoying, isn't
it?
Yeah.
So welcome if you are watching us on YouTube.
Yes.
In today's episode, Glenn and John will be speaking to the dietitian to the stars, Jess Spendlove. She works with clients such as the GWS Giants, the New South Wales Waratahs, the Sydney Kings, oh my God, there's more, the Western Sydney Wanderers, F45 Training, Cronulla Sharks, and Giants Netball. She'll talk about how you can eat healthy without having to spend a fortune.
So Jess, I want to start with, what is the difference between a nutritionist and a dietitian, and what are you?
I'm a dietitian, and I'm glad you've asked the question because there's a lot of confusion. The best way of thinking of it is a dietitian is somebody who can prescribe a way of eating or a diet for an actual purpose. So for a clinical condition or for a performance outcome. So there's someone that's gone to uni for 4 or 5 years and they've done that dietetics component and they can, with a qualification, make those recommendations. Whereas a nutritionist is a little bit less regulated. So they may have gone to university or they may not have. They may have just done a short course. And the difference is they can essentially be like, this food has this nutrient and this food can do that. But they then can't really go and then prescribe a way of eating for that clinical or performance outcome.
Right. So a bit like a sports scientist and a personal trainer.
A little bit, yes. Yeah.
And what are you, John? Neither.
Well, push came to shove, I'm probably a sports scientist, yes.
Yeah. I don't know the difference. So, okay, so just on that, there would be a dietitian that would work in the hospital as opposed to a nutritionist.
Yes, yeah. So before I got into sport, I actually worked in a hospital for 3 years.
Right.
Yeah.
So if somebody was an inpatient and they had some surgery and there had to be some lifestyle changes to their eating, you would sit with them and actually say, look, I recommend you eat this, this, and this, which will cause that.
Yeah. So there's inpatient or outpatient in the hospital setting, and depending on how sick the person is in the surgery. So they may be seen on the ward and then prescribed different types of feeds. So enteral feeds or different supplements, or there can be just general recommendations for when they're being discharged on how they should eat to change X, Y, and Z. But that would typically be an outpatient clinic.
Yes. Yeah. Cool.
So most dietitians would head down a particular path, i.e. aged care or high performance or certain conditions do, or they generalise across the whole range?
Well, when you go through university, it's very clinical focused. So you kind of tick off clinical, community and a little bit of food industry. To do sport, it's really after university. I think I did one lecture in 5 years on sport. It's then you go and do a sports dietitian qualification and extra experience and extra.
Sure.
What we've asked Jess to do is we want to get really practical today. Mm-hmm. And, you know, a lot of us are eating at home more because of, you know, things are shutting down and have shut down. And by the time you're listening to this, there might be some things opening up. But I think what will happen, John, is we'll get into a bit of a habit of going, oh, I can actually cook crap at home and it's saving me money. So people might start to cook at home more than what they were doing pre-COVID.
Yeah. And I think this podcast will actually make us realize that it's much easier than people think.
Totally. And I think I'll add as well, like, yes, we did interview the doctor and the professor last year at Newcastle University. And that was amazing because we got to the, like, I mean, it was a pretty technical podcast with the food and it was Q&A and it was wild and awesome. But this one I like because it's all practical.
Yes.
And Jess works in the trenches with a lot of high performance individuals like myself and other athletes.
Best of the best. Best of the best.
You were going well there for
like
a while.
Yourself.
And then I started cracking up. So
now just before we get into that, I had a goal at the start of the year because I don't get in the kitchen enough, right? And I think you've saw that goal and were quite impressed. But however, I was getting HelloFresh deliveries and I was using those and I was flying along really well, and then HelloFresh stopped for one reason or another and I've let myself down. So this is redemption time today.
But Amy would do all the cooking for you, wouldn't she?
And that was the problem I had. I was like, there's too much weight towards her doing all the work and not enough towards me doing it. So I've got to lift my game.
I respect that. Go, John.
Yeah. So I'm getting in the kitchen more and Jess is going to give me more inspiration today.
Love it.
As always, the podcast is about us learning.
Exactly. Now, before we get into this chat, if you want to jump on Insta, you can follow Jess at...
My personal one is Jess_SpendLove_dietitian. Or my business one is health_performance_collective.
And I guess the reason why I want to send you over there to have a look now is just so you can get a bit of a vibe about Jess and the stuff that she does. And then at the after party this episode, Jess has prepared a meal for John and I. And we'll put that video up in the after party. We'll put the video up on Facebook. And you'll see how inexpensive it is to make a really yummy, healthy dish. So what's kind of the number one thing that you would say to people if they want to start on this journey of healthy food, on this journey of saving money, and of this journey of general wokeness when it comes to diet?
I mean, a lot of people get so caught up and they're in their heads and there's so much information out there. So the first thing is that they just need to actually take a minute and plan out their week. And it's really like anything. You're not going to be good at something if you're just totally winging it or you've got no intention or thought towards it. So first thing, think about your week ahead. Think about what you want to eat. Think about what you've got and then start to put a plan in place. And that's not to not have fun or be super rigid and create this stress around it. It's just to move forward, you need a bit of a roadmap, and that's what that provides you.
Yeah. It's important in anything we do, isn't it, really?
Yeah, and do you have, like, when you do your weekly plan, do you have any, do you have an app or do you just literally open the notes in your phone? How do you do your weekly plan? Do you have something on the fridge? Like,
for me, I like to write it out. So I've actually gone and my business has created a, like, downloadable free meal planner with a grocery list on the back.
Oh, cool.
So you can kind of write on the front what
Where
you want to have.
That?
I will send it to you.
Okay, and we'll put it in the show notes.
Yeah, yep. Cool. Yeah. But I like to write it out. But yeah, otherwise in your phone, in your notes is totally fine. So just needs to be somewhere, not just in your head.
Mm. Yeah. And what, like when you plan your week, what night do you do that or what time of the week do you do that?
It'll typically be a Sunday. Yep. So maybe Sunday morning, I'll think about what I want and then I might go and buy Sunday afternoon. But at the moment, a bit more flexible because my week is a little bit more flexible. But
yes. And do you shop at certain times? I know different people shop on a Sunday night because there's no one around. Do you, or there's maybe specials there because they're trying to get rid of stuff over the weekend. Is there any tips and tricks there or not?
I would typically go on a Sunday and then maybe top up on a Wednesday just because that's how my life has typically worked out. Yeah. But that's – and also what works for me. If I don't do that, I'm a bit unorganized and don't execute my week.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Because I'm always told that the more often we go back to the supermarket, the more we spend in general. So would you agree with that?
Yeah, definitely. If you're just, again, flying by the seat of your pants with no kind of plan and you're topping up and you're grabbing a meal at a time, whereas I'd typically do a big shop once a week and then if there's anything I needed to top up on, I'd get that on a Wednesday. Yeah.
It's like going to Bunnings without a list. Like I go to Bunnings, I'm like, oh, I need to get some hacksaw blade because I had to cut something here the other day. And then I'm walking out, why have I got a 30-pack of batteries? Like, why?
It's and a grocery store is worse because it smells good.
Yes.
There's specials. There's all the things out that are strategically placed that we all want to eat, probably don't need to eat. And if we don't have that list and the things we're sticking to, which is going to help save us money.
And that goes back to just general budgeting. The people who have a plan, a budget in place with their money generally do better because there's some type of system. And I think it's important to, with your eating and your planning, like I would probably be the one, because I'm going to try your meal planner. And I think maybe if I did, because I was just thinking then, like what if I did week A, week B, week C and just had three versions just so it's easy. So it's like we're running week C this week. It's bangers and mash on Wednesday. And then every third Wednesday I'm having bangers and mash.
Yeah. Well, it's like our money plan. It's whatever works for you, isn't it? Like we've just got to be flexible.
And
that's
what I say. Like with my spending plan, if you don't use that, awesome. Mm. If you do, awesome. If you've got your own way, awesome. Like it's just, it's all good.
Just have some system that works for you.
Mm. Yeah. So having that plan of the week is critical. Going to the supermarket hungry, probably not the best idea either.
Probably not the best idea either. Yeah. We've all done it.
Yeah,
we have. And doesn't it lead to all the treats?
Absolutely. Chocolate's the one for me.
Ditto. Mm.
So when we've planned our week, okay, what do we do now?
So we've planned our week, meals and snacks. Right. Can't forget the snacks, which we'll touch on a bit, but I often think that's probably where most people go wrong. So we've planned our week, we've got our meals, we've got our snacks, we've checked our pantry because we don't want to be doubling up on things or wasting money. And then from there, we create our grocery list. So we actually physically write the list and then or type it in your phone and then you take that with you. So there's no point at being up here because like we said, there's all the distractions.
Yeah. Right. And if you're sending someone else, the list needs to be very well detailed.
Yes.
So that you actually come back with the right stuff.
Portions, brands, if you're that specific.
Yes.
Yeah.
So we've planned our week and now we've got to execute. Like, do you find in terms of cost and quality, do you go to like Coles, Woolworths or Aldi for staples? And then do you buy your protein from the butcher? Do you buy your bread from the baker? Do you then buy your candles from the candlestick maker?
I'm mindful to say what I do because, I mean, it's what works for everybody, but I would typically get staples from, a major supermarket and then I would get bits and pieces. I'd go to like a fruit shop for my fruit and veg or I've got like more kind of the boutique-y style supermarkets closer which have pretty good produce which isn't as expensive. So I'll go there for that.
Have you found during this bit of COVID, do you think it's like there's some people gouging? Because I went to the butcher the other day and I bought 6 sausages because what I do is I cut them up into 2s and put them in Glad wrap and then put them in the freezer. And then I bought 2 Scotch fillet steaks and it was $29. And they said $29 and I tapped and I just thought at the back of my head, like, that seems
expensive.
Yeah. Anyway, some guy walked past just as I pressed pay and said to his wife, oh, yeah, can see they're gouging in this time. Like, and so I don't know. It's
it's a tough one because you want to support, obviously, small business, but you obviously need to be mindful about your own financial situation. So I don't know. There's some instances where I'm finding things are a little bit more, like, cost effective. Like, I'm finding some fruits and vegetables at the moment, fresh fruit and veg, and whether that's because everyone's gone a bit tinned food, frozen food crazy and there's an excess. But, I think it depends on...
Because would you generally say, and this might be my sort of blasé look at it, but you would get healthier cuts at your butcher shop than you would general Woolworths or Coles?
Yeah, definitely. Which is why then I would typically not buy my meats from the majors. I'd get it from either the butcher or like a more local one where I kind of know where it's coming from. It's it's not too far. It's sustainable. Yeah.
But it's clunkier, isn't it?
Because, it is clunkier.
Yeah, you've got this one-stop shop, which is obviously great. But
Yeah, but I went over to Tumby Wholesale Fruit and Veg, or it's next to the Tumby Wholesale Meats and the Fruit and Veg the other day. And I went in and bought a heap of veggies because I'm like, I'm going to make a roast, you know, treat myself and all that. And I walked out of the fruit shop and I'm like, it felt bloody cheaper than Woolworths and Coles.
Yeah. Because it's all on its own.
Yeah. I don't know.
Putting everything else in the trolley.
Or is it just because I hadn't bought my cleaning crap and everything in the one thing? I don't know. But I think at the end of the day, you've just got to start, if you really want to hone in, and I did this as well, like if I go to Woolworths or Coles and I want to just get a bit of bacon, for example, I just go over to the deli because the best thing I've learned and the best thing I think the Australian government have done for consumers have made them put the price per 100 grams, the price per litre. So, you can actually compare, do I want to pay $27 a kilo for my bacon in the fridge aisle? Or $2 over in the deli.
Yeah, and I think there's this continual argument, cost over quality, isn't it? Like, where do you sit with that? Is everyone's different.
And you do. You need to find your sweet spot because you're not always going to get the healthiest, best, highest quality item for the lowest cost.
No.
So, it's really your life, your budget, where food and nutrition sits for you. And for me, obviously, I'm a dietitian, slightly biased, but it's an investment in your health, which is pretty much the most important thing in your life. So, yeah, it's not necessarily cheaper is better because it costs less if you can afford a little bit more. So, yeah, it's find your sweet spot.
Okay, so question. So, you work with various clients. So, I'll say elite AFL and NRL teams, you will help plan food for individual players or as a team. I would ask, or I'd probably make the comment, budget probably isn't the main driver there in terms of...
There is a mixed range. Like, there's definitely well-paid players, so it's not necessarily... But there are, like, your draftees or your younger or, like, your fringe players.
Yeah. Well, even to the other extreme, if you're doing meal planning and you work with F45, like, if you're a new player, you might be earning $150K, which is nothing compared to $1 million. But if you're working with F45, you've got to do stuff for average people like us in the world that we don't have unlimited money per se. So, I guess, what do you kind of look at when you are building a meal, probably more for the F45 programs and stuff like that? And then conversely, what do you do if there's a player who might be on $1 million a year salary who's like, I just want to eat healthy and be full? Like,
you're still, the foundations of eating well, regardless of who you are and what money you want to spend, are the same, which is like good quality protein, whole grains, and your fruits and your vegetables. And I think for me, when I look at a lot of recipes, like I get turned off a recipe if it's got too many ingredients. So I think if you're starting with the basics and then you've got a few things that you add to it to flavor it, like I really like those infused extra virgin olive oils or a couple of different spices, well, then you can eat quite well without necessarily spending all this extra money just with a few things that are going to flavor it. Whereas obviously if you're somebody that's got a lot of money to spend, then you can get a bit more fancy with different things.
Yeah, okay. So when you're working with the professionals, for example, you would prepare meals or prepare food for their training and for game day versus giving them plans for them to go home and shop and cook and do all that.
Yeah,
how does that vary?
To be honest, I've probably moved away from the meal plans a lot because, I mean, it's all about behavior change, which is more like focusing on the person and the area that they need to change. But a lot of my job with the teams is actually working with the different chefs or the hotels or organizing food suppliers to get food in, which I've essentially nutritionally approved and they like, and it's going to help with their performance. So there's a lot of logistics and organization from anything they eat at any time or any touch point with them while they're like working or training or playing.
Okay.
So just if, you know, there's a AFL game and it's halftime and they all go into the shed and, I don't know, do their prep talk or whatever they do, I don't know, or pep talk, I don't ever see them eating a banana.
Some of them do.
Some of them do. Because
Toby Green has to have his banana at halftime every week.
Every bloody tennis player will have a banana or half a banana. So, are there any kind of, I guess, what are the little go-to natural energy boost that's good quality?
For everybody or?
Or just for like, I don't know, I'm about to go for a run.
Yeah.
So 20 minutes before I go for a run, should I have X?
Yeah. Caffeine and carbohydrate. So shout out to caffeine, which we're having a nice cup of coffee here right now.
That, John? That,
yes.
Yeah. So thanks to Glee Coffee, we're having a Burindi natural process and the bourbon variety. I don't know how you say that.
No additives, no milk.
It's delish.
No sugars. So good.
Just
you can go to gleecoffee.com.au and at the checkout, put the promo code M3 and you can actually get 15% discount.
That's pretty good.
And that's not even an ad. They've just left the code from when we used to advertise for them.
And they get free marketing right there.
Gleecoffee.com.
But yes, great energy boost pre-workout would be caffeine. And it actually helps you work harder for longer or exert less energy. So it prevents fatigue. So it's great. We love caffeine pre-workout. And then a bit of carbohydrate, which is our body's natural energy source. So a banana is a very common go-to. Other people might like dates or any fruit really in general, a piece of toast, maybe with, I don't know, peanut butter or honey or, yeah, look, depends on the person and the type of training and all of that. But if you're feeling tired and you're about to train, caffeine and carbohydrate.
Because in general, if you're going for a half hour workout, 45 minute workout, you should usually have enough in the system to get you through with general training sessions as opposed to competition.
Yeah, look, if you've eaten, and I guess another when we get to the snack part and how to regulate your eating. Like if you're eating relatively consistently across the day, a couple of meals, one or two snacks, whatever works for you, then no, you probably don't need to necessarily add something. But if you've not eaten for 3 or 4 hours and you've got a bit of an energy dip and you're about to go do something, well, you might just need that from a day and an energy boost point of view.
Yeah, cool.
Question, is there such thing as like if there was 100 calories, right? So for example, a date might be 50 calories. So if I had two dates, 100 calories versus a spoonful of Nutella, that was 100 calories. Is there such thing as healthy calories and unhealthy calories?
100%.
And does it matter?
It does matter. In the long run, it definitely matters.
Right.
So
I'm just fact checking someone.
Yeah.
From they told me the other day. Shout out if you listen. Don't know if you listen. I'll tell you the story.
Which camp were they in?
Yeah. No, that, I'll tell you a story later.
Fat camp.
It does matter. It's not just energy in, energy out. It's quality and
nutritional.
Then physiologically what that's going to do to your body from a sugar level point of view, how long it's going to sustain your energy.
Right. So there are good calories and bad calories.
Yes.
And every body responds differently to different things, don't they?
Yeah.
Like when I was going through high school, I clearly remember the healthy food pyramid, right? And it feels as though that's almost been turned on its head. Like carbs and breads and pastas were high priority and fats were low, whereas now it seems as though it's the opposite.
Yeah, it's the food pyramid is interesting and they are in the process of slowly changing different things. But I think the thing people need to focus on, if it's less processed or not processed and it's whole food, it's always going to be a good option. So that should be the majority. And then depending on your life and your situation.
Which is the outside of the supermarket, isn't it?
The outside aisles. The perimeter.
Yeah. Don't go down the middle.
No. So high risk aisles.
Let's talk about snacks. Okay. So do you have any kind of motherhood statements about snacks? And can you talk to us about some low-hanging fruit? Excuse the pun. Actually, don't excuse the pun.
I love snacks and I think everybody loves snacks. I just think they don't actually know how to approach it. And I think everybody pays attention or more attention to meals and they think they shouldn't or they don't need to eat in between the meals, but often that's where they get it wrong or right. So you can either add some serious nutritional value or you can do some serious damage. So first thing is everyone needs to probably snack and you probably can't go any more than 3, 4, or 5 hours without anything. And then the second thing is then knowing what you should have. So protein to fill you up, whole grains, healthy fats and color. So in terms of actual food, Greek yogurt, nuts, fruit, crackers with some smoked salmon or ham, cheese, tomato on top, ham cheese on crackers with a bit of avocado.
Right.
Yeah.
So I guess the underlying thing of this episode is like you actually can eat really healthy. And it actually isn't expensive.
Mm. And it needs to taste good as well. So I think everyone thinks healthy, non-enjoyment, and it's expensive. And it's like, actually no. Healthy food can be tasty and delicious,
yeah,
and it can be inexpensive.
So in your experience, do you think that most people that don't eat healthy because they think it costs more or because there's more preparation required?
A bit of A and a bit of column B, yeah.
And I reckon the taste as well.
Yeah.
Don't reckon it tastes as nice?
Well, I think what it comes down to, this is just and you'd probably know from a clinical thing.
Because she's the expert.
Because she's the expert. Like,
we all eat though.
We all eat, but if I'm snacking, if I'm in that loop of eating trash, like my brain will crave salt and vinegar chips more than it will a healthy bowl of nuts. So what I've had to do in my own house, there's actually no snacks. Like the only snacks, quote unquote, I've got the little Sultana packs because I figure that's probably better than a bag of chips. I've got Brazil nuts, cashews, almonds, and that's about, and some fruit.
And well, there's kind of two things there. The first is if you're unraveling in the afternoon and you're all hungry and snacking and craving all of the things, my argument is, what are you doing the front half of the day to set you up for that? Or what are you not doing? So what does your breakfast look like? Mm. Do you have the protein? Are you having breakfast? What does your lunch look like? Because then you should kind of be getting to snack time. And if you've got something in your cupboard and the question becomes, oh, what have I got? What am I going to have? As opposed to, oh my God, I'm hungry, I'm tired, I feel like all of the things. As soon as you say, what do I feel like? That's a very different question.
Yeah. It's emotion, isn't it?
It's a very different question to, oh, what have I got? What am I going to go and have?
Yeah, okay. So can I role play for a moment? I wake up in the morning. I'm full. I don't feel like any breakfast. Talk to me.
It's a very common one. I'm not hungry. And my, I guess, question there is that a habit? So how have you always eaten? If you've never had breakfast, you're not going to automatically start having it. And then my other thing is, well, what did the back half of the day look like? So if 60, 70, 80% of your food is happening in that last quarter of the day,
right,
well, that's probably why you're not hungry. But that's also not going to change if we don't shift it. No. So
we want to be like the cow that grazes all day.
Yeah.
Hmm.
Ideally.
Yeah, consistency. What time should you stop eating overnight?
Ideally 2 to 3 hours before bed.
Right.
And that's more in the kind of sleep hygiene camp as much as anything else. Like it's not like if you eat past 8, you can't lose weight, or it's none of that. It's really, that's more from a digestion, comfort, sleep hygiene point of view.
Like I'll be the first to say I've got a problem with ice cream, and that's why I don't generally keep it in my house. I had a big couple of weeks a few months ago, moving the studio and all that. And I'll be honest.
I had a bender.
ISO ice cream. I was just like, you know what? Ben and Jerry's triple caramel chunk. Come at me, baby.
Everyone's got their thing.
I may have had that small pint in bed watching Netflix. Now, I would have been asleep within an hour after finishing that. Now,
so you woke up with a tub on your chest?
Almost. But I guess what I'm saying is those, like, back to your sleep hygiene thing, you don't sleep as well having ton of sugar in you.
Yeah.
Like, so yeah, I had a bender, what can I say?
Yeah.
But confessions here today.
Yeah, it's a safe space.
Safe space.
Okay, so
but that's not the norm. That's not your every night.
I wish it
most
was.
Most nights.
Most nights, yeah.
Have one night off.
6 out of 7 nights.
Yeah.
So a misconception, I'm hoping it's a misconception, sugar or fat, which one's worse?
Sugar.
Yeah.
Yeah. And I mean, there are different types of fats, but sugar is definitely the enemy, and trans fats.
And just explain trans fats.
So trans fats are often the ones that are created from your deep fried foods when you've got an oil and you're then converting it into something else.
So okay. The good fats, what you're saying, trans fats.
The tasty fats are the trans fats.
We had a volleyball team a million years ago with a few friends and our team name was trans fat.
Was it?
Yeah. But yeah, fat is definitely, has been demonized for a long time. It has, and that is, I think that's changing quite a bit.
And the old, I'll go and lose weight by dropping the fat is misconception.
Very much so. Fat's actually like protein's your most important nutrient for keeping you full.
Yeah.
But your healthy fats are really important from that point of view and from an inflammatory point of view. And they're involved in like the integrity of every cell in our body. So Yeah.
It's so wild, all this stuff. Like, you know, you might be listening thinking, oh, you're not even talking about money and it's a money podcast. It's like, well, you are what creates money. So you need to be the best version of your bag of chemicals.
Yeah. It's your engine, isn't it?
So definitely. It's just so important that we, even if we have these conversations once a year on the podcast, you know, because you've got to look after yourself, be it like we had Franco with the mental health.
Yeah.
We had like Jess talking about the physical nutrition. Yeah,
there's so many offcuts to it, isn't it? Like if you're eating well, your energies are up, you're thinking clearer, you're making better decisions.
Which means you could probably earn more money because you're out there.
And even from a more direct correlation point of view, which I probably didn't mention before, but like if you're being intentional with your food and you're thinking about what you want and what you're going to go and buy and you take your list and you're not deviating from that, well, you're indirectly saving money there. And also if we're all cooking more at home at the moment, you know, the classic, I'm all for going to a cafe and I really enjoy that, but even just not going for your eggs and your avocado on toast at the cafe and doing that at home, we are indirectly saving money there.
Yeah.
So, well, directly.
Yeah. Mm. Now, talk about diversification with our eating. Have you got a little TED talk about that?
Yeah. So, it really refers to like not just what you're eating, but getting a variety in there. And, you know, plant proteins and vegetarian diets and all that are kind of on the up at the moment. And we don't need to go hardcore no meat or vegan, but there is definitely, from an environmental point of view, from a health point of view, from a cost saving point of view, benefit of eating less meat and more plants. So your burrito bowls for lunch today are an example of that. So we
can't wait.
Oh, can you call 000? Because it's about to be a crime scene. I'm gonna bloody demolish that.
I've got hunger pains already.
But yeah, so diversification really just means getting different types of foods in your diet, and in particular, more of your plant proteins. So yeah, a great way to introduce that is half the mince, add extra beans. A, you've saved money because it is a lot cheaper. And B, it's good for your gut. It's good for the environment.
Absolutely.
Win.
Growing up on the farm, we were 9 times out of 10 meat and 3 veg. And it was actually meat and 3 veg for lunch and also dinner. Right. So there wasn't much diversification there, but I'm still here today.
Yeah.
Right. Do you also think that a lot of people can't physically see the changes of them eating the same things but thinking they're still healthy?
Yeah, definitely. And I mean, this whole diversification point of view is there's a lot coming out in that gut health space and what we eat and the way in which we eat and how that impacts our gut health, which then impacts everything else. And I mean, you're a pretty fit and healthy person.
Thanks,
outside
Jess.
Of outside of, you know, everything else that you do. So nutrition is one part of that. Yeah. Puzzle. It's a really important piece of the puzzle. But I often find people with the way that they eat, they won't see that transformation, but they'll probably feel it. They'll energy feel it. Wise. Yeah, from an energy point of view.
So before we get to, we've got a handful of listener questions that came in on Instagram. I think, well, I've actually just got a question and I want to talk about bread. Why is sourdough so expensive?
Yes. So delicious though. It's the process and it's the quality. Right. So it's not this highly refined, just one type of grain product, which is then we can make 1,000 of them. The way in which they make it, it's handmade, it's fermented, the ingredients are high quality. So
because it's so expensive, you're right.
Yeah. I'll get vulnerable and personal here. To be honest, guys, I can't eat that much bread. I get, you know, a bit of an upset system. However, sourdough, no issues.
Yeah.
It's telling you a story, that, isn't it?
It's a narrative, John.
Well, there could be so many reasons to that. It could be the processing. It could be the type of wheat. So, a lot of people have some gut issues and more intolerance than anything else. And there's kind of thresholds to different things.
Yeah, because I figure, like, I'm not gluten intolerant. I'm people intolerant. No, I'm...
Both.
I think from my basic kind of thing, it's a type of wheat that triggers me.
Yeah. In the gut health space, there's, a lot of people can be sensitive to what we call wheat fructans, which is a type of carbohydrate in wheat. And you kind of have this threshold and there's so many different foods that it's in. And if you're eating little dribs and drabs, once you get to a certain point, it can tip you over. And that's when the symptoms pop up. or the type. So yeah. Sourdough tends to be lower.
Yeah. Yeah. So shout out to sourdough.
We love sourdough.
Yeah, well done.
So do you have anything else to add? Like, I guess in summary, the things that you've kind of said, you know, plan your week, then have a very tight or at least have a list. And this is all basic common sense that we need to always be reminded and encouraged with. Buy meals and snacks to prevent snacks.
Yes.
But I mean, like, it's okay to have, like, they say cheat days and all this stuff, you know, in my kind of gym scenes and all that stuff. That, but, like, do you...
Fitness circles.
Yeah, in my fitness circles. Do you think it's better to have a cheat day or the odd cheat snack?
I think it's better to have cheat snacks. Yeah. So, look, 80-20, it's food, you need to enjoy it. And I love food. I mean, I posted on my story last night that I was having a little Whittaker's coconut chocolate slab thing. So, I'm not... Just one.
Yeah.
But you need to enjoy your food. But I think, yeah, it's better to spread it out across the week than one day where you've just...
Yeah. Diversify your eating. So...
Yes.
Get as much different variety as possible.
Yeah.
Like your investments.
Yeah. And stop telling yourself that healthy is expensive.
Yes.
Because it so isn't.
Definitely. It's very much a myth. I mean, in some regards, if you're getting the organic special superfood thing, which, you know, I mean, that's one kind of frustration that I have. Things that are called superfoods are often not superfoods. Yeah. It's like your oats and your berries and your basics. They're actually the things that are your...
And these examples I've got in front of me are astounding, aren't they?
Yeah.
Can you... read a couple of those for me.
Yeah, so 150 grams of potatoes, which you might obviously cook up for your dinner or roast up and do whatever with them, is 60 cents for 150 grams in comparison to a packet of potato crisps for the same weight, which is $2.90. Or I like this one, a 100-gram apple was about 60 cents compared to a 100-gram fruit bar, which is $1.90, or a 100-gram chocolate bar, which is $4.30.
Wow.
We're not comparing apples with apples
no,
there.
No, literally. So it's maybe a mindset of preparation in that part as well.
Very much.
Yeah.
You asked for it. Here I am. I'm going to say it. You don't want me to say it, do you? But I'm going to say it. No, I don't care. You said you wanted it, so I'm going to do it. Oh, so you don't want it anymore? Well, that's too bad. I'm doing it. It's time for the Community Member of the Week.
Tennille, you are up. And Tennille is 26-year-old from Bundy in Queensland.
Home of the rum.
Have you ever been up there?
I haven't, no.
Have you, Jess?
No, I haven't.
No, it's pretty far north, isn't it?
Have you?
No. The furthest I've been is Cairns.
Same.
Well, Bundaberg's south of Cairns, isn't it?
Oh, is it?
Yeah.
I'm not sure. I haven't been past Noosa. So.
Sorry, Tennille.
Sorry, I'm just going to have a look at the map. Do you want to talk about Tennille's goals and whatnot?
Well, she's, first of all, she works as a family and connections worker. Financial goal is to get rid of the last of my bad debt. Update, it's paid off now and I have $11,000 in savings. Woohoo!
That's awesome. So good.
How she achieved this goal, automated direct debiting an amount each fortnight to pay off the debt. Her silliest money mistake was buying a brand new $40,000 car when I was 20. Sounds like Glenn.
Yeah, you're welcome. Now, I think that's funny because, like, a 20-year-old, like, you'd be doing really good if you were earning 80 grand when you were 20, right? Mm. So, if someone was earning 80 grand when they were 20 and they bought a $40,000 car, still at the top end.
Yeah.
So, at least Tennille's been aware that looking back, she might have only been earning 50 grand a year or 35 grand a year and maybe bought a car worth more than her yearly salary. Yeah. I mean, we don't know these details, but I think it's good that she's now, because hindsight's such a beautiful thing and we can learn.
Yeah. Oh, totally. I think we've all made those mistakes in some way, shape or form.
Now, back to our geography, Cairns is actually the furthest major town north in Queensland.
Okay.
And then we go down to Townsville, Mackay. Then probably Rocky, then Bundy.
All right.
Yeah, so it's...
My millennial geography.
There you go.
Coming to a podcast not near you. Now, let's, Jess, if you wouldn't mind, answer some listener questions.
Sure.
Claire Ruther has asked, the best long-keeping and healthy foods.
Yes. Yeah, so I wasn't sure if that meant like cooking and then storing or just foods in general. But if we're talking obviously your pantry items, anything that's dried is obviously going to keep. So, and stock up on all of that when it's on special. If we're talking foods to make and prep and keep in the fridge, anything with a high water content can't be kept for more than a few days. Otherwise, it can make you really sick, like washed lettuce, rice, pasta, etc. And yeah.
What about celery?
What about celery?
Seems as though it lasts longer than it should, celery.
Yeah, I guess it depends on how you store it, but I find celery up to about a week if you cut it up and it's in a container. Mm. So otherwise, if it's just kind of out and in the fridge, it goes a bit floppy and that.
Yeah, no good.
Evelyn Clark, who's a good friend of mine in the show, she asks how to stop snacking every 10 minutes.
Yes, it's a massive thing and ISO has really brought this on. So honestly, a lot of what we spoke about before, that planning. So my thing is, are you constantly hungry because you've not eaten enough at the front half of the day? So you're busy, professional, mum, whatever your situation is, and you've not maybe had breakfast and you've maybe had a late lunch or a small lunch. And so you're kind of behind the game, whereas you want to kind of front foot it a bit more. Otherwise, it could be from a hydration point of view, if you're not drinking much, if you're actually dehydrated, or, you know, is it actually a psychological, you know, change in life, change in work? And obviously, we can be triggered to think about food a lot more. So is there a boredom factor? Is there a stress factor?
Yeah, particularly at the moment, you're out of your normal habit and routine.
Yeah.
Yeah. Is it a visible thing too, like if it's sitting there looking at you?
Definitely. So if you can position your office or like laptop away from the kitchen, like not sitting near the kitchen, ideally, if you've got a study or a desk somewhere else. Mm. Otherwise, a nice little nifty test is we call the Apple test. So if you are thinking that you're hungry all the time and you've done all those other things, just ask yourself, would I actually be satisfied with an apple right now? And
we do this with
if
kids.
You are honest, it's actually a psychological test out there. And if the answer is yes, you probably are hungry. Yeah. And if it's no, then it's like, well.
Yeah.
I've also found if I am trying to be good and I do feel the urge that I'm really hungry, I just have a glass of water and just wait 10 minutes.
Yeah, perfect.
That's a good one. Kel asks, my family like nice food and good quality. Any tips on keeping it under budget?
I guess to the point of it's quite an open question, but I guess one of the things we brought up before is like diversifying your meat. So if there's an opportunity to still use mince, but then maybe reduce the amount and add like a bean mix to it to increase the fiber, reduce the amount of meat, you will organically save a bit of money there. Or alternatively, obviously depending on where you shop, what you buy, go with that list, be intentional.
Would you generically say eating better quality foods means you don't need to eat as much of it, or is that a bit of depends on what you're eating?
Yeah, I think it would be more of a depends on. So coming back to that plate model, if we're looking at an ideal plate, it's probably a third to a half of your colourful stuff, your fruits and your veg, and more veg at mealtime, and then a quarter to a third your protein, and then the other kind of quarter, your whole grains. So if you're doing that and you're serving yourself what you need, you can't really go wrong.
Depends how big your plate is.
And as well, like I saw a documentary once and they were basically saying like if you have a Macca's meal, the fats and the oils in there trick the lining of your stomach so you don't feel full, whereas if you eat a bowl of salad, there isn't that coating there. That's a layman's.
Well, yeah, and then it can also be like depending on the quality, how quickly your body digests it and then what it does to your sugar levels. So right. If you've had, going back to that carbohydrate analogy before, the Nutella and the dates or whatever it was, like the fiber in the dates, and it's going to be digested more slowly, so the release is slower, so then we don't get hungry as quickly. So
good.
So many factors.
Sea Salt and Sundays, who's a regular contributor. Veggie options and kid-friendly options, please.
I guess one good thing with vegetarian way of eating, because it does include a lot of eggs, dairy, lentils, legumes, like naturally it is actually quite a cost-effective way of eating, because obviously meat is often one of the pricey points of the way that you would eat. So eggs for breakfast, you know, lentils, legumes, etc., that type of thing for your lunch, maybe some tofu at dinner. Kid-friendly options. Oh, what are we talking? Snack. John might be more...
Yeah.
Fish fingers.
I don't have children. I should.
Well, I think you're following a similar model, aren't you?
Always.
It's the same type of foods, but they're just in healthy versions, like your fruit packs and, yeah. and natural stuff. Like, yeah, we argue with this. We don't argue, but we it's continual conversation point around what we should be putting in our kids' stomachs, because majority have take the quick and easy option of packet of chips.
Yes. And often, it is still the same stuff, like your fruits, your veggies, your whole grains, your lean proteins. And often with children, it can be the way in which it's served, the manner in which it's served, the influence of the parents. So cut it up, make it look pretty, hide it in your food if you need to.
Yeah, do a bit of that.
The principles are definitely the same.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, because it's interesting when we talk about preparing meals, probably more so dinner, is some parents will cook two separate meals to cater for the kids' tastes, right? For me personally, that's a setup for disaster, because they're like conditioned to
exactly
have their own chef.
Yeah, eat together, eat the same thing within, you know, reason, all sitting down, ideally eating at the same time.
Mm.
It's very influenced from a behavioural point of view.
Yeah.
Well, we might leave it there. It's been a fun chat.
Mm.
And thanks for listening. If you want more information, particularly the recipe that Jess has prepared for us that we're going to do in the after party, you can look at the show notes. There'll be a link there to the blog she's done. And I just think it's a really good time just to encourage us all about what we're eating. And like anything, if you prepare, it doesn't cost as much as you think. It's the same with like when I was in the States, I was buying last minute flights and changing my plans.
Yeah.
And it was costing me a crap load of money because I hadn't prepared.
Yeah.
It's just no area of your life where this analogy or this model about preparedness actually helps and saves you money. Mm. And you end up with probably a better outcome anyway.
Definitely.
For sure. Preparation's power.
Convenience costs.
Exactly. So thank you, Jess Spanlove. You can find Jess on Instagram and details in the show notes. And we'll see you guys next week.
Okay. Bye.
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 If you're after personal financial advice, this podcast is not for you. But if you do want a financial advisor or mortgage broker to talk with about your own personal situation, head over to sortyourmoneyout.com, click Get Help, and we'll put you in touch with one of our trusted professionals.
This podcast supports A21, a charity focused on abolishing slavery and human trafficking all over the world. Check out a21.org.au for more info. If you want some other giving options, or if you are unsure about which charity you can support, head to thelifeyoucansave.org.au.
If you're looking for a super fund that puts its members' interests above all else, choose a super performer, Sun Super. With low fees, strong investment returns, and great member services, Sun Super is Super Ratings 2020 Fund of the Year and has also been awarded by Money Magazine, Canstar, and Finder. Find out more at sunsuper.com.au/M3. You can join Sun Super online in under 5 minutes. Thanks to Jess Knaus, producer, Nathan Robertson, editor, and me, Asher. Anyway, make sure you're connected via Instagram and our free Facebook group. We also film most of our content now, so check out My Millennial Money on YouTube.